that well, which is, I guess, why that was there. Good morning. It's 12:05. The doors are locked, so you're not going anywhere anyhow. But I will attempt to be succinct. God, our Father. By the way, I'm Jerry Hutcher, if you don't know me. Sorry. God has a sense of humor. About 8 weeks ago, it was decided that I would speak this morning. And about 4 weeks ago, I started being attacked by pollen. So I'm going to say this once. Excuse me. If I sneeze, cough, or choke, you've been warned. Okay, I'm not infectious, except hopefully in the spirit. Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 6. If you were baptized today, pay attention. Hebrews 6, we're going to start in verses, we're just going to read verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of instructions about washings, and laying on of hands in the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Therein lies the basis of our Christian faith, the foundation, some of which believers have yet to have come to grips with. The first thing listed there is repentance from dead works. I like to say acts that lead to death. I would identify those as anything that's not breathed by the Holy Spirit of God. You turn away from what you were doing. Thank you. And you turn toward God. The two first foundations are repentance, turning away. The second one is faith toward. It's not saying the five spiritual laws or four spiritual laws. It's been so long, I forgot how many spiritual laws there are in that book. It's not a verbal commitment. It's a heart change. It's becoming a different person. Turning away from dead works, heading toward faith in God. If you do those two things, you're now qualified for the third thing, which is washings or baptism. Baptism is a word that was made up. The title of this message is regarding mikvahs. I happen to be a Jewish believer. And a mikvah, this is a mikvah. How many of you have been to Israel? How many of you have seen the mikvahs in Israel? It amazes me how many people go to Israel and they don't see them. That's because they don't have a messianic guide taking them, because they're scattered all over. Baptism did not start with John. Mikvahs or washings were consistently scattered through the Torah of God. The priest would, on high holy days, do certain elements. He would go and he would take a mikvah. He would take a complete bath. He would change his clothes and then he would come back and minister before the Lord. It's consistently found through the scripture. I want to point out at this point that the word there in the Greek is plural. It is mikvahs, or it is actually washings. And that's really important because God has more than one baptism for you. Deb alluded to it, and I will get even with her for doing this at some time in the future. If you think Pentecost was several weeks ago, that's because you're on the wrong calendar. What an ego we have. I worked in South Florida for years, and I had guys working for me, they're Cuban guys. I said, "What's your name?" "My name's George." "Oh, really? Your mother named you George?" "Yes, my name's George." "What is your name really?" "My name is Jorge." "But it can't be Jorge because he lives in America. We're going to change it." Right? So we change things. In Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, where we will not go, but you can go at your leisure, God speaks about his festivals. And they are not called the festivals of the Jews, the Hebrews, anything. They're called the festivals of God. And the root word in Hebrew there is not festivals like party, it's moed. Moed means appointment. Like if you had a calendar and you put an appointment on it. Oh, on this date, I'm going to do this. Well, apparently God has a big calendar in heaven. And it's a spiritual calendar, but it also has some chronology in it. We know that because Paul writes to the Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, 1 Thessalonians, I guess it is. And he says, you have no need for me to instruct you about the times and the seasons. Now, anyone who tells you that we don't know when Jesus is coming back is wrong. We don't know the hour or the day, but we do know the season. And Jesus was very clear about that also. He said, hey, when the fig tree gets leaves, you know summer's near. Understand? So the Hebrew believers knew a lot about the return of the Lord because of the Moed of God, because of his explanation of what was going to be. And believe me, and we could talk at length some other time, it's not in the message today, we are at the end of time. And I know people have said that for some time, but I can tell you, we're in the season, and we have good reason to believe that. So, I'm going to skip the next scripture. I'm just going to tell you about it, okay? There's this great revival going on in Jerusalem, right? God, the Holy Spirit, was pouring out. A bunch of people came on Pentecost today. They were all in Israel. They were all in Jerusalem. And there are three major festivals listed in the Levitical account, Leviticus 23. They are the Passover, which we'll talk about soon. They're the Feast of Weeks, which the Gentile churches call Pentecost. And they're a Feast of Tabernacles. And if you ask any Jew, they would tell you that the Feast of Tabernacles speaks about the return of the king. Hence the name Ingathering. Now, on those three celebrations, the men of Israel were to be in Jerusalem. But as they were dispersed over the nations, they often didn't come. Passover was too close to winter, and they had to tend to their agricultural portions and get their things out in the garden and, you know, grow their food. Tabernacles is at the end of the year. It might be a little late to get back. Let's say you lived in Italy. I don't think I want to take a boat ride in November back to Italy. But the Feast of Weeks, people were from all over the world. It was the most common time for the believers, the Jews from around the nations to come, and they were all there in Jerusalem, just like God planned it for them. Okay? So anyway, there's this great thing that happens the day of Pentecost. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And there's a revival going on, and Philip goes out to Samaria with some of the other brothers because they heard that the word of God broke forth and the people in Samaria were getting saved. Now, John and I have a problem when the Holy Spirit does stuff in other denominations without our permission. Right, John? Got some trouble here. And that's what happened. God was moving in Jerusalem. We're in the center of the universe. God, the Holy Spirit's happening here. I guess he's happening in Lakeland now, right? He starts breaking out other places, there may be some trouble. Anyway, there's something going on in Samaria, so the apostles sent some of the leadership to check it out, see what was going on. And Philip was one of them, and they checked all that stuff out. This is the 8th chapter of Acts. I'm giving you snippets because of time. Anyway, they got all done, everything was cool. And what would you do? Let's go back to the revival, right? But God interferes and sends Philip to a desolate place along the Gaza Strip on a road into the desert. And he sends him for one person. Let's pick that up, Acts 8. See how prepared I am. Acts chapter 8. In about 26. The angel says to Philip, go down here. He goes. He comes along. Verse 27, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch, and he runs up next to the guy's chariot. The chariot is going along. Philip's running along next to him. Okay, evangelism. And Can you imagine somebody doing that in Franklin, running alongside a car? Hey, what are you reading? You know? So what are you reading there, buddy? Well, I'm reading the prophet. And he starts spouting off some of the book of Isaiah, talking about the Messiah to come. And the Ethiopian says to him, is this guy talking about himself or is he talking about another? And from that portion, Philip begins to preach the gospel to him. And when he gets all done, verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repentance is turning away from what you used to believe and turning toward faith in God. And if you do that, the water's there for you. It's there for you today. Some of you people here need to get baptized today. I can say that because I feel God has showed that to me in my heart. But I'm going to give you some foundation for this. Turn back to Exodus. Exodus, the 12th chapter. I don't hear any rustling of pages, so I'm not waiting. In Exodus 12, we have the story of the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. And I'm going to, once again, jump around a little bit. Verse 1, Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. How many of you know that April or thereabouts, that particular month is not the original first month in the Hebrew calendar, but that God changed it? My wife knows. God changed it in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Now, I was born September 28th, 1950. Yes, I am that old. But I was born again April Fool's Day, 1970. And that is the first month in my life. Because God changed my life then. And I became a new creature. And so too for the nation of Israel, here's the picture. The Passover, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God for you, is the beginning of a new life. Verse 3, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month you are to each take a lamb for themselves, according to the fathers, their father's households, a lamb for each household. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God because your parents believe, or your husband believes, or your wife believes. The lamb is for each house. It's for each person to take the Lamb of God into their life. If you don't do that, you don't own him, or he doesn't own you. If you'll skip down to verse 12. God continued to give instruction to the children of Israel as to what was to happen. In verse 12, he says, I will go through the land of Egypt on that night. I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Egypt is a picture of sin. Consistent in the scripture. Once again, I don't have time to develop that for you. I'd be glad to privately or on some future date. But God cast his people out of Egypt, out of the world. And he didn't just kick them out. He passed judgment on the gods of that world. And when you become born again, you no longer belong to that world. You are thrown out in a sense. And those gods that you worshiped, be they money, be they sex, be they success, be they whatever, are conquered. Yes. And they're killed. Amen. And you don't belong to that anymore. Right. Verse 37. Now, an interesting thing, particularly amongst my Jewish friends and family, is that there are two festivals that occur here, and once again, you can find them in Leviticus 23. And they seem to override, and we get confused. And this affects our Christian walk, too. The children of Israel did not remove leaven from their houses, and they did not make unleavened bread because God told them to. This is what happened. Verse 37. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from children. And a mixed multitude also went up with them. Mixed multitude is goyim, people not of Israel. They weren't the only ones that left sin. Not just the Jews went out, but all who believed left. The multitude that went into the wilderness was Jews and Gentiles. Verse 39, and they baked the dough which they had brought out of Egypt into cakes of unleavened bread, for it had not become unleavened. It had not become leavened since they were driven out of Egypt, and they could not delay, nor had they prepared any provision for themselves. When I repented of my sin, I didn't really repent of my sin because I had no clue what my sin was. Oh, I might have told God I was sorry for a couple of things I had done, but my sin, those are things I did. What I needed to repent of was for who I was, for my sinful nature. My mom was a good sinner. That's someone who really didn't do anything bad. Even when she smoked, she only smoked 2 cigarettes a day. Good sinner. Okay? When my mom asked the Lord into her heart on her deathbed, which is great, I'm happy, but I think of all the years that she could have had with him and been in fellowship with us. The fact is that what gets people into hell is rejecting God's sovereign work throughout the full course of their life, turning away from God's hand, which has been held out forever to you. And it was God who thrust Israel out of Egypt. They didn't even decide to go. They got kicked out by the hand of God. Me, I saw what I'd been looking for all my life in a group of people. I heard no doctrine preached. I heard no prophetic words, no tongues, nothing else. There was no supernatural, except I kind of thought the air in the room was cloudy. Well, I know what that is now, but I didn't then. But I did not fail to leaven my bread. I was thrust out of the world and into heavenly things. God delivered me. And so too the children of Israel were cast out of Egypt, and God forgave their sin and made them new. Most people repent of things, but they don't repent of who they are because they don't know who they are. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You don't even know what it is. So they were thrust out. In the Leviticus account, there's another festival that starts the very next day. It's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's a 7-day feast during which the children of Israel, God's people, you are commanded for a 7-day cycle to remove leaven from your life. Once you're born again, it now becomes your job, with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, to begin to root out the sin that's in your life. God is very tolerant of his children. He's very tolerant of us as babies. But when we're 30 years old, he does not want to change our diapers anymore. He wants us to have rooted the sin out of our life. And that's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is about. Continuing on into chapter 14. We know that the children of Israel... Oh, I did this in the last group. How many... Do any of you have trouble with any of the fuzzy math in Christianity? How many days was Jesus in the tomb? 3. So when did he go into the tomb? On Good Friday? I'll let you think that for a minute. Take your shoes off if it's necessary. When does day begin? The scripture says it was evening, it was morning, the first day. You know, you can use whatever calendar you want, but God's still working on the Hebrew one. I'm sorry, he's not going to change his name. In fact, his name is Yeshua. You can call him whatever you want, But that's Hebrew for salvation. God saves. I'm not trying to get you to become Jewish. I'm trying to get you to understand the roots of the Scripture so that you can count. Counting is so good. And then you would know that the Christ was crucified on Thursday. He was crucified and he died at 3 o'clock. Do you know what the Hebrew application is for killing the Passover lamb? It has to be sacrificed at the betweens, is the Hebrew word. You know what time that is? It's 3 o'clock. Another one of those funny coincidences. You see, there's no Old Testament and New Testament. There's a First Testament, and then there's a second one. And the first one holds the foundations of our faith, some of the pillars. And then God came along and set the second story on it, the new covenant. And when the apostles preached their doctrine, because we all adhere to the apostles' doctrine, right? They were teaching the Torah of God. Torah does not mean the 5 books of Moses. It means that, but it means much more. It means God's instruction, God's direction. Do not reject the Torah of God. It's different than law. There's a different Hebrew word for law. That's mitzvot, commandments. We need not to reject the instruction of God because we're afraid we're going to become legalists. No one that knows me thinks I'm a legalist. They think a number of things about me, but not that. Exodus 14. So, 3 days into the wilderness, the children of Israel fled. Oh, there's so much more. We just need another couple of hours. 3 days, they're backed up against the Red Sea. 3 days, another one of those coincidences. And guess what happens? God splits the Red Sea. And Moses says, verse 13 of chapter 14, he says to the people, "Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again." Children of the king, when you pass through the waters of baptism, you don't ever have to see those Egyptians again. They're dead on the other shore. Understand that? Now, I'm not telling you you're not going to sin again. Because guess what? God is a dad, and he gave you free will. And when you became born again, he didn't take it back. So you still have free will, for which you will answer. Don't touch that. It's hot. I'm free. I can touch that. Ow! Consequences. But you're free. See, you have to have free will in order to love somebody. If you have to do it, it's not love. So God has given you free will so you can fall in love with and continue to be in love with Jesus and through him, the Father. But I said we were going to talk about another baptism, so turn to John chapter 20. And I want to show you a misinterpreted scripture, which we're going to correctly interpret. John Miles told me he was the only other person that had this right, me and John Miles. I knew there was somebody else. I just didn't know who it was. Chapter 20. "When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said, 'Receive the Holy Ghost.'" Whew. Hebrew for breathed is ruach, as in Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God. In Genesis, the account of the creation, God takes a bunch of dirt, he forms it into this clay likeness of a being, and he, Ruach, he breathes into it. This is, to the best of my knowledge, the only place in the New Testament where we see somebody get born again. The Spirit of God breathed into these people by Jesus. Now, these same people, we're going to find this same group of people. Turn to Acts, the first chapter. Verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them, that would be a mitzvot, not Torah. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is the same group of people, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a believer unless you've received the Holy Spirit. But do not confuse this with another experience. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 clearly lays the foundations of our faith, and it includes baptisms. Now, you have free will. You don't have to have anything you don't want. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know how God feels about that. But you're going to make your own decisions. But I want to be clear with you that there is another experience. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the signs of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not tongues. If you're scared of tongues, I'm sorry. It's not rolling in the aisle. It's not even flames of fire sitting on your head. The scripture says you'll receive power. Power to do what? Power to be who God says you are. I told a men's group Sunday night. See, I'm really not feeling that good, am I? Sunday night, I said I was having an argument with God. Any of you ever argue with God? How's that work out for you? Hasn't really worked that good for me. But anyway, I was arguing with God, and I told him I was not who he thought I was. And he told me that I would be as soon as I stopped trying to be who I thought I was. Then I could be who he says I am. So, this is a challenge for you today. Once again, we had a lot of things going on, and I don't want to labor on the points. God, the Holy Spirit, is breaking out. I can stand here and testify to those of you who think the elders move too slow that the foundations of God are being laid in this place, and that men of God are being raised up in this place. And ladies, that's what you want. You want men of God. Because men of God honor their women. And they protect their women. And they protect their families. And the Spirit of God honors that. And that's being laid in this place. Deep roots are being put down. And they're being put down because God is going to break out. And I don't know exactly what he's going to do, because for some reason I'm not on his A-list and he didn't tell me. But I do know that today, according to Luke 11, a scripture Bobby used last week, that God will grant the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. He doesn't give a stone to his children when they ask for a loaf of bread. And that scripture doesn't say, and so God will give you a Mercedes-Benz or a Maserati if you ask him. It says he will give you the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll have the power to be what God wants you to be. This is a short ride, a real short ride. And it'd be a shame to go through it and miss what God has for you. Okay? So, having said that, I'm going to turn this back over to John, and I'm going to sit right there on that bench. And I would invite anybody who wants to receive the Holy Spirit to come up. I'll pray for you. Bobby's going to come up and pray with me. Other people. Who knows what God will do? You got sicknesses? We'll anoint you with oil, not water. It's down there. We'll anoint you with the water of the Holy Spirit. We'll anoint you with oil. And I got a really big God. Even though I sound all stuffed up, it doesn't matter. Because inside, I'm on fire. So let's pray. Lord God, we invite the presence of your Holy Spirit today. We ask, Lord, that you would honor the commitment of those that were water baptized and that you would just wash those stinking Egyptians up on the shore. Let them look back and see them. And as they look forward to you and become immersed in your Spirit, Lord, give them the power to conquer the future enemies and to be everything that you would have them to be. We ask this in the name of Jesus, believing. Amen.
I'm going to ask Richard Clark and Jeremy Bradford to be available for if anyone would like, now that you're all dry, if anyone would like to be water baptized.
Yes.